sleep with me of her own volition, and if she was indeed keeping something inside that she could not tell me, this would probably be resolved in the course of time. We continued our weekly dates after that, part of which now included stopping by my apartment for sex more often than not. As we held and touched each other, she began to talk about herself more and more, about the things she had experienced, about the thoughts and feelings these things had given her. And I began to understand the world as Kumiko saw it. I found myself able, too, to talk with Kumiko about the world as I saw it. I came to love her deeply, and she said she never wanted to leave me. We waited for her to graduate from college, and then we got married. We were happy with our married life and had no problems to speak of, and yet there were times when I couldn't help sensing an area inside Kumiko to which I had no access. In the middle of the most ordinary or the most excited conversation, and without the slightest warning, she might sink into silence. It would happen all of a sudden, for no reason at all, or at least no reason I could discern. It was like walking along the road and all of a sudden falling into a pit. Her silences never lasted very long, but afterwards, until a fair amount of time had gone by, it was as if she were not really there. The first time I went inside Kumiko, I sensed a strange kind of hesitation. Kumiko should have been feeling only pain this first time for her, and indeed she kept her body rigid with the pain she was experiencing, but that was not the only reason for the hesitation I seemed to feel. There was something oddly lucid there, a sense of separation, of distance, though I don't know exactly what to call it. I was seized by the bizarre thought that the body I was holding in my arms was not the body of the woman I had had next to me until a few moments earlier. The two of us engaged in intimate conversation. A switch had been pulled without my noticing, and someone else's flesh had taken its place. While I held her, my hands continued to caress her back. The touch of her small, smooth back had an almost hypnotic effect on me, and yet at the same time, Kumiko's back seemed to be somewhere far away from me. The entire time she was in my arms, I could have sworn that Kumiko was somewhere else, thinking about something else, and the body I was holding was nothing but a temporary substitute. This might have been the reason why, although I was fully aroused, it took me a very long time to come. I felt this way only the first time we had intercourse. After that, I felt her much closer to me, her physical responses far more sensitive. I convinced myself that my initial sense of distance had been the result of it being her first experience of sex. Every now and then, while searching through my memories, I would reach out to where the rope ladder was hanging against the wall and give it a tug to make sure it hadn't come loose. I couldn't seem to shake off the fear that it might give way at any moment. Whenever the thought struck me, down there in the darkness, it made me uneasy. I could even hear my own heart pounding. After I had checked a number of times, maybe 20 or 30, I began to regain a measure of calm. I had done a good job of tying the ladder to the tree after all. It wasn't going to come loose just like that. I looked at my watch. The luminous hands showed it to be just before 3 o'clock. 3 p.m. I glanced upward. The half-moon slab of light was still floating there. The surface of the earth was flooded with blinding summer light. I pictured to myself a stream sparkling in the sunlight and green leaves trembling in the breeze. The light up there overwhelmed everything, and yet just below it, down here, there existed such darkness. All you had to do was climb a little way underground on a rope ladder, and you could reach a darkness this profound. I pulled on the ladder one more time, to be certain it was anchored firmly. Then I leaned my head against the wall and closed my eyes. At last, sleep overtook me, like a gradual rising tide. 7. Recollections and Dialogue on Pregnancy. Empirical Inquiry on Pain. When I woke, the half-moon mouth of the well had taken on the deep blue of evening. The hands of my watch showed 7:30. 7:30 p.m., meaning I'd been asleep down here for 4.5 hours. The air at the bottom of the well felt chilly. I'd experienced too much nervous excitement to think about air temperature when I first climbed down. Now, though, my skin was reacting to the cold air.